Hey everyone, this is John, and this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the CoronaCast, episode 1. So, work is shut down until end of March at the earliest, probably longer. School for the kids is shut down until April 15th at the earliest. So, I am hanging out, mostly, until then. There's not much left open. Movie theaters are shut down. National parks and state parks, so far, as of CoronaCast number one here, are open. But there's a lot of video games and a lot of movies and a lot of walks around the neighborhood happening right now with the wife and the children. But in order to keep myself from going completely stir crazy, I'm going to be doing recordings as much as possible. We'll still be doing regular episodes of the Nintendo Show with Ryan for the duration, you know, until there's no more Nintendo. Wes is in self-quarantine. He recently returned from Europe and, you know, was feeling a little bit under the weather, probably just jet-lagged, but he has put himself into self-quarantine for at least the next week and a half until he's asymptomatic. He's feeling all right. I was texting with him earlier today, and he's feeling fine, but he's just being very cautious because he has young kids in his family, and my kids are still, you know, decently young. They're 6 and 7, so, you know, having them get that sick would be a huge drag on them, so he's just being real cautious. But he will be back, hopefully by the end of the month, with us recording for our regular shows. But I'll be doing quite a few solo shows as the weeks go on, talking about whatever random topic I feel like talking about, probably mostly games related. But Nintendo did me a huge favor today, and they did a indie showcase. So I got some games you can talk about there. And this is something that, you know, I'll also get to Ryan and Wes's takes on, because they've also seen it. But so that I don't totally dominate that conversation, I'll just do a monologue here and let them give their own thoughts without an interruption, probably on the mini show, maybe on the official show. We'll see how all these shows pan out. But one gets things started here. They started off with quite a few timed exclusives, which is pretty fun. First one they showed was Blue Fire. This is a game from Roby Studios and published by Graffiti Games, coming to the Switch as a timed exclusive in summer of this year. And this is a cool looking game, kind of a 3D action platformer. You know what that reminded me of? It reminded me a bit of that game iNinja back in the GameCube PS2 days way back when. The game might be 20 years old almost at this point. But the way that they're doing things like wall runs and wall jumps, doing things like aerial acrobatics, like a little hover in the air, a little helicopter maneuver, and then an air dash. A lot of the things, a lot of the platforming in that game made me think of iNinja. I can't recall if they showed all that much actual combat or if this game's purely supposed to be a platformer, but it does have some really nice kind of outlandish environments, so they're not just sticking with like more naturalistic type things or letting themselves be weird, which is, you know, what I want to see out of video games. Do things that you can't do and experience and see in real life. And in real life, you can't run on walls and up walls and double and triple jump in the air and dash in the air with your little ninja sword. So this game looks cool. This game for me is a definite buy, whether to hopefully at launch, depending on how the work situation all pans out. And depending on what other games, because we really don't know too much about what is coming out within the next few months. I think past, April 24th is Trials of Mana, and that's the last solid release date for a Nintendo Switch game that we have. So hopefully there's a Direct coming soon to kind of plot out the next couple of months before, you know, what would be the scheduled kind of E3 Direct presentation. Who knows what's going to happen with that since E3 is canceled. We'll get into that in the official show for sure. But yeah, this game, Blue Fire, it looks really cool. It looks like my kind of 3D platformer, one that's really acrobatic. The next one they showed is called Baldo. This was from the developer Naps Team, self-publishing. Also coming out in summer of 2020 as a timed exclusive to Switch. This one really has a distinct, very nice looking art style, like a Studio Ghibli film, like an anime like that. And what it looks like they're doing is emulating a Zelda style puzzle adventure game where you are, you know, hitting levers and manipulating your environment to solve puzzles and advance through what could be dungeons in this game. We'll see. They did make it a point to say, or to mention, open environments, which sounds kind of cool. And that this game, it looks like it's shaping up to be really cool. This one was announced a while back, but Nintendo really hasn't showcased it themselves that I can recall at this point. But this game looks like it's paying a lot of homage to Zelda, both past and present, and has a really nice art to it. The visuals to it look really cool. It'd be really nice if this game got a physical release, but I'm not holding on to hope for that. Maybe like a limited runs or super rare games, maybe one day does a physical release for it. But as is, this one also looks like a must-buy. I think it's like the exact kind of Zelda-esque adventure that would be really cool to kind of break up the space between, you know, really long RPGs, something like a Trials of Mana and a Xenoblade Chronicles, if the rumors of that are indeed true and it's coming out in May. We'll see. But a really nice palette cleanser to games that you could spend a whole lot of time on. And then they also did make it a point to say that this is going to be a longer game as well. You know, whether that translates to something that was, you know, maybe 30 or 40 hours, which would be long for a downloadable game for sure, or if this turns into something that's a lot more substantial, something like a 60 to 70 hour game. You know, we'll see. But I'd be down for either one of those either way. This game looks like it's gonna have a world and environment that'll be really nice to immerse yourself in during the summer months. I Am Dead is another game that is a timed exclusive coming out just 2020. No season for this one. This one's from developer Hollow Ponds and published by Annapurna Interactive. And this one, it's tough to tell exactly what the gameplay style is. It looks like probably an adventure game where you're investigating the lives of these people in this little town that you occupy, like that you haunt. You are a ghost in this game, and you can, you know, do ghostly things. They give the one example of being able to see through things with X-ray vision, which isn't how X-rays work anyway. But it's another game with a very, you know, cartoony, whimsical art style, like these other two that we've talked about so far. Baldo more than Blue Fire, although they both do have their share of fantastical whimsy to them. But I Am Dead, you know, it's a game where, I don't know, I don't have too much interest in this sort of thing because I don't really have much interest in doing the more narrative-focused kind of questy things in these type of adventure games, and it looks like a lot of the things revolving around this, or about this game, are going to pertain to finding out what people's lives are like and kind of unraveling the mystery, like these more narrative beats that don't really appeal to me. Bark is a game that looks pretty cool. This is one from TikTok Games. This one's coming as a timed exclusive to Switch in late 2020. And it's a 2D shoot 'em up, side-scrolling shoot 'em up, which looks really cool. They also emphasize that there is cooperative elements and there's different playable characters that all have their own skills and techniques and upgradable ship parts. I'm interested to see if the level structure is such that you are replaying these things and upgrading your ship over and over again, like going for high score runs as you go, or if this is something that is going to be a more longer form game where, you know, you're expected to save your game and come back over the course of like several days or weeks and chip away at this thing and maybe replay missions and do a bit of grinding to get some more of your gold that they showed to get new parts and upgrade and get better for future runs of harder levels. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll see some more of this game at future indie directs or, you know, just stuff from the developer. This is one that I'm keeping an eye on. Not a must buy at this point, but definitely something that I think has some potential and that would at the very least end up on a wish list, if not if it's not an immediate buy. Freakpocalypse is a game coming to Switch as a timed exclusive this summer. This one's developed and published by Cyanide and Happiness. And I'm not exactly sure what this game is. It has a more sort of like Cartoon Network, more of like a simple animation art style to it, where they're not going for hyper detail or a visually impressive art style. It's meant to be more humorous, which is, I think, one of the key things about the game that they were really trying to present in the, I don't know, weird sort of newscastery tone to the way this guy was talking about the game. But I'm not sure what this game is. It's very vague a genre description to call a game an adventure game. Usually when you think of an adventure game, you think of something where you're managing inventory and using items in certain places to solve puzzles and open up new environments, or interacting with the environments in certain ways to, you know, progress and access different parts of the game. I'm not sure if that's the case here. Again, it looks more narrative focused, but it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell exactly what this game is without seeing sustained gameplay. And what we saw didn't really show off too much of that. I don't know. This game, I don't have much interest in it in general. So this one's probably going to be, most likely will be, a hard pass. Summer in Mara is coming to Switch in spring this year from Chibig. And this one, I got hints of Wind Waker in this game. Now, I don't know if there's going to be any sort of combat to it. They did mention things like farming and crafting, which is typically not my type of thing in games, especially with Animal Crossing coming out in just a few days here. I'll probably have my fill of that style of game for a long, long time. But the way that, what reminded me of Wind Waker was the sailing, of course. They showed pretty early on in the video, the trailer for this game, that there's a boat, and of course you go around, you sail on it, and it looks like there's like some island hopping that you can do, which is something that is really cool in an adventure style game where you're, you know, going from island to island and like playing through dungeons or solving puzzles or figuring out like what is the cool thing like to discover on that island. But yeah, this one, again, this one's kind of a maybe because of that farming and crafting stuff that they talked about. So it'll probably end up on a wish list and waiting for a sale, or, you know, seeing how much Animal Crossing, you know, sinks its teeth into me to see if it's something, this is a genre that I want to experiment with more. But I don't know, I feel like there would be things higher up on the totem pole than this game if I'm going to dabble in that genre anymore, things like Stardew Valley or Rune Factory, that kind of thing. Harvest Moon, even. But I don't know. It looks like it's a nice looking game. It looks like it could be fun if that's your style of game. Quantum League is coming to Switch in late 2020 from Nimble Giant Entertainment. It is a first-person shooter that has a nifty little mechanic where when you play through a level and you die or you replay, however it is, they keep that loop going, the ghost of your previous playthrough plays through with you. So you're kind of playing cooperatively with yourself and setting yourself up for future runs, which is an interesting idea for a shooter or any kind of game where you have to sort of do this pre-planning and plan on, you know, when you're going to abandon a run so that you can then take advantage of the progress you made in that run with a future one. It's an interesting idea. But first-person shooters are really not my thing, so this one's most likely going to be another hard pass. The Good Life is coming to Switch at some point in 2020. This one's from White Owls and Swery, who I had never heard of, but they made a big deal out of, you know, making sure they dropped his name, so I looked him up. And he has done some other kind of mystery adventure games, like A Deadly Premonition was probably the highest profile one, the one that I recognize the most easily in his game credits. And it seems to be that this game, The Good Life, is another game where you're inhabiting a town, you're inhabiting a world, and kind of going about your daily life. And then the twist is at night you change into an animal, you change to a cat or a dog, and that affects the different places you can go. And they mention like a murder mystery that you're supposed to solve. I don't know, when they mention that, it just kind of seemed like, oh yes, and by the way, there's this other thing. So it seems like this game, some of the themes might be a bit scattershot. They might just be kind of shoving everything into it, or maybe not everything, but you know, too many things unrelated to like the core gameplay that it might seem a little bit unfocused. But I don't know, people seem to like the Deadly Premonition. The thing that people seem to like about that game is sort of how janky it is, and it's sort of like a beautiful train wreck where, you know, something that takes that sort of form, a game that takes that form, it can't be done on accident. It has to be like an intentional design decision to make something that janky. So I don't think that The Good Life is going to sort of follow that model, but it's a game that, even if it doesn't seem like it's carefully considered, it probably will be. But I don't know. Like again, it's another game that seems narrative focused, so not for me, not my thing. The Last Campfire looks like a really cool game. This is from Hello Games, as they mentioned in the presentation, in the showcase. It is from the developer of No Man's Sky. This one's coming to Switch in summer 2020. And this game, God, I got really strong vibes of Hob, which was really great because that's a game that I really liked last year. And it reminded me of Hob in the way that the character is kind of like moving through environments and interacting with things in the environment, you know, whether it is other characters who are kind of lying on the ground and bringing them back to life, or like pulling on chains. Like it's doing that sort of adventure game thing where you're doing a lot of environmental interaction in order to open things up and progress to the next area, which is something that I really like, that style of adventure game, like a Hob. Or certain parts of Zelda, where it's not so much about combat, it's more about finding the thing in your surroundings that you need to pull on or move or shuffle around or slide, and just in order to open the door or, you know, change something that allows you to access the next area. That's my style of puzzle. So the art style looks really nice. I really like the character design, this like little Marvin the Martian mage dude. I like the idea. They show this briefly, so I don't know how big of a crux of the gameplay it is, but I like the idea of going around and restoring these sort of statued, these characters that have been petrified back to life, because I really like the idea and the mechanic of restoring a world from ruin to some sort of progress again. That's the sort of thing, like when you feel your impact on the world like that, I think that makes for like a really successful adventure and a really satisfying gameplay mechanic or gameplay reward. Pixel Junk Eden 2 from Q Games, coming to Switch in the summer of 2020. And Q Games does have some pedigree on Nintendo systems with games like, I think, Meteos, and I believe they did Star Fox Command on the DS, so it's nice to see them continuing to work on Nintendo systems. I'm not familiar with the Pixel Junk series, or you know, the previous game. I think there might be more than one of them, but I'm not sure what this game is. It's a game they mentioned like procedural generated levels, and that's kind of where I knew that this wasn't going to be for me. It does have a very stark art style to it, which is kind of cool, like the like highly contrasting colors. But again, like I'm not sure, like is this a platformer? It doesn't look like a 2D like shoot 'em up or something like that. I'm not sure what the game is outside of, like, you're supposed to try to rescue these other little characters. So, I mean, it's 2D. Like, I can't quite tell if it's kind of side-scroll or anything, or if it's going to be kind of like one-room puzzles. I don't know. Without knowing more, this one's going to be a hard pass. And because it is procedurally generated, it'll probably end up being a hard pass anyway. Faria is coming to Switch in March 2020. This one is developed by Abracom and is going to be published by Versus Evil. It is a card game, which is interesting to me, but not a card game like a card RPG, like a Bat and Kaidos or a SteamWorld Quest, something like that. But like a card game, like a tabletop sort of card game where you're playing cards and that you do things that manipulate your field of play, like the environment. I don't know, like this sort of thing is interesting to me. It seemed like there was a lot going on in it. Just like there's like cooperative stuff and online stuff and single player missions and deck building. And I like all those sorts of things. I need to know more before I make a purchase or stick it on a wish list, because it does look like it has a lot of mechanics to it and something that would take time to master but be interesting to do while you're doing it. Well, we'll see. I'll probably have a pretty full plate, although without, you know, not being at work, I might just have enough time to squeeze something in. We'll see. Eldest Souls, which is very cleverly named to grab some attention, is coming to Switch as a timed exclusive in summer of 2020. This one is developed by Fallen Flag and being published by United Label. I really dig the art style to this one. It has a really nice sort of pixel art, isometric view, reminded me a lot of Hyper Light Drifter, which is really cool. The thing that makes me hesitant about this one is they described it as a boss rush. So I don't know if that means that it's going to be just boss fight after boss fight, sort of like, for the lack of a better comparison, like a Cuphead, where most of the levels you go into are just going to be that fight. Is there going to be a world that you can explore like a Hyper Light Drifter? Because that would be appealing to me if, you know, you're exploring an overworld, maybe solving some puzzles, and then the only combat is your boss fight. But when something is described as a boss rush mode, and when something is named something like Eldest Souls, clearly trying to evoke two different series there, it makes me think like this game is going to be sold and built as this game that's supposed to be very difficult, which is not something it's super appealing to me. I want to have like a balance to the gameplay rather than just fighting hard boss after hard boss. That sort of thing isn't for me. After that one, they hit their sizzle reel and were showing off a lot of different games like in just like 20-second intervals that are being ported to Switch. Blair Witch coming to Switch this summer from Bloober Team, being published by Lionsgate. Not much interest in this one. I've never even seen Blair Witch Project movies, so I'm not even sure what the gameplay for this one would be. Ghost of a Tale is developed by Seath CG and being published by Plugin Digital. That one's coming to Switch this spring. And this is an interesting one. And I looked this one up because it is a port. It's been out, I believe, since 2018. And it's got a 82% on Metacritic, which is pretty solid. And it's like a sort of, it's pitched as an action RPG adventure, which is a bunch of different genres thrown together. Looking at it, I can't tell if it looks really good or if it looks kind of bad, because it's a very detailed game. But it was hard to tell without watching sustained video if the details were kind of getting in the way and like producing a lot of those jagged edges. So I'd like to see some sustained video of this one. I don't know. It might end up on a wish list at some point. We'll see. I need to see more of this game before making a decision about it. But, you know, and also I also looked up how long of a game it is. It's only about a 10-hour game, which is also pretty appealing. So, you know, we'll see. Price point will matter. You know, watching some sustained video will matter. Getting a better idea of what the gameplay actually is, like RPG mechanics and things like that, will also make a big difference. What else is coming out around that time will make a big difference. That sort of thing. Sky is coming to Switch, being developed and published by that game company. That one's coming out this summer. As is Sky Robot from Double Dash Studios. Actually, that one, I should clarify, that one is out now rather than coming out this summer. But Super Liminal is coming out this summer from Dylan Castle. As is Wingspan from Monster Couch Games. That one's out spring. Most of these games, not too much interest in any one of them. Dicey Dungeons from Distraction Ware Limited. That one's just sometime in 2020. That one's an interesting one because it does have... it looks more like a straightforward RPG with like a lot of like... more of a card RPG. But the cards all have pictures of dice on them, and those are sort of like denote your attack power, the different effects of cards, things like that. And Bounty Battle, coming to Switch this summer from Dark Screen and Merge Games. This one looks like a 2D, it's like Smash Brothers type of game, like a party fighter with lots of players on the screen. I'm not sure what characters, like what they're all representing. I only recognized one character in the short little clips that they showed, and it was the guy from Guacamelee. Carlos? Juan? Juan, I think. Yeah, definitely Juan. So I didn't recognize any other characters, so I don't know, you know, what sort of characters would be in this game, but it looked like a lot of havoc, a lot of craziness. They, you know, could be kind of fun out of a Smash Brothers clone if you're really into those sort of games, but I have not put nearly as much time into Smash Brothers as I thought I was going to. No fault of the games, it's just so many other things come out. So, this one is definitely not on my radar. Moving Out is coming to the Switch on April 28th. We got a definitive release date for that one. It's a game that we've seen before. It's coming from SMG and DevM, being published by Team 17. And there's a demo. The demo out for this one, and me and Dez went through the tutorial and played through one of the levels of the demo, and then, you know, Mika was watching and she immediately wanted to try the game as well. A little bit tough for her to grasp the sort of mechanics because the game is intentionally clumsy for humor's sake, so it's not like they've made a bad design choice and the different sort of like control inputs and the way things handle. You know, it's supposed to be wacky and clumsy and clunky, if that's a word that can be used for this one. But it's a funny little game because what you're doing, if you're unfamiliar with the premise, is you enter a house, basically your arena, and there are certain things that you need to move out from its location and into the back of your truck. And some things, you know, you can lift by yourself. Some things you can toss into the truck if you're trying to be more time efficient because you're timed. And you get, you know, a better grade if you do things within a smaller time span. And you unlock, I don't know, bonus goals for bonus points. And I'm not exactly sure what happens when you achieve a lot of these side goals, but I'm sure there'll be some sort of unlockable, like maybe extra characters or something, because you do have a four selectable characters at the beginning. There's a girl, a human girl, there's a lizard, there's a dude with a potted plant for a head, there's a dude with a toaster for a head, you know, just kind of weird stuff, and kind of goes into the overall sort of wackiness of the tone of the game. But, you know, some things that you're trying to move out of the house, you can only be carried by two people. And this might have to do with the fact that I was playing co-op. I'm sure if you're playing as one person, you know, they'd have to adjust it to where you could carry things out by yourself. But I don't know how well this game would play as a single-player game, because it's just basically run and grab and throw stuff as quickly as possible rather than try to cooperate with someone to, you know, split up and grab different things when you can and then have to cooperate to get like couches and beds out the door that can be a tight squeeze. And then, you know, the other thing you got to consider is you want to move the big stuff first, you know, as if you're loading an actual truck because there's limited space on your truck. And if you put all the small things in there first, you're taking up a lot of the space and you can't squeeze the big stuff in. Whereas, you know, you put the big stuff in first and then you just kind of toss the smaller stuff on top of the bigger stuff. So it's a good way to save space. But yeah, it's wacky fun. And, you know, they've showed things in the trailer that will do things to further, you know, enhance that silliness, that silly tone and gameplay to the game by having things like moving platforms and like stairs that you can throw things down. You know, it's not a game where, you know, you're supposed to be careful with what you're doing. It's supposed to be hectic and energetic and frenetic. And I think from what I've played, they do a good job of doing that. I think I've made the comparison of this game to something like an Overcooked or The Stretchers, a game that came out in November of last year, where, you know, doing things sloppily with, you know, a cooperative partner is part of is the fun of the game. You're not trying to be efficient or precise. You're just trying to be fast and get it done. And the fun of the game is laughing at what's happening with the person next to you, which is why I don't know if this game is going to work out so well as a single player game. So, you know, if Dez is interested, we might try a couple more of the demo levels. I think you get like the tutorial and three other levels with the demo. So, you know, and if it's something that she's interested in, we may try to give it a download when it comes out. But, you know, if she doesn't care about it, then, you know, I'm not going to be doing this one by myself. And it took Mika a little while to understand the controls. And even, you know, as we're getting toward the end of the level, she still couldn't quite grasp the things she was supposed to do. It was difficult for her to understand using the side trigger button, the L trigger, to pick up and then hold it down to keep grabbing onto things. So she might be a little young to completely understand the things that are happening in there. And then last but not least, Exit the Gungeon is now out on Switch from Dodrill and Devolver Digital as the publisher. This game was on, I believe, Apple Arcade and is now making the jump to actual consoles. And I've never played Enter the Gungeon, so I'm not exactly sure how this game works, but there is some pedigree there. It's a franchise, or I guess a couple of games that I recognize. I recognize the name, so it does have that recognition to it. It is a sort of a 2D side-scrolling shooter, I suppose. A lot of the fun in the game seems to be from like the bombastic level design and enemies and different types of weaponry that you're able to use. So it's cool. Like, I think it's cool that this game is making the jump over to Switch and that people will be able to play it and buy it on Switch. But I don't know enough about the game in order to take the plunge myself. I think if I were going to try out one of these games, I'd probably start with the first one. But again, it just comes to a matter of time and funds at this point. If this is something that, you know, maybe if like they run a sale, maybe I'll take the plunge. I'll find it on the old eShop at some point over the next week and probably stick it on the wish list to see if maybe they run a discount at some point to see if it's something I might be interested in. And Exit the Gungeon, probably do the same. I'll probably stick it on a wish list so that, you know, I don't lose track of it completely. But whether or not I ever end up getting it, well, it depends on a lot of different things, what games are coming out, and, you know, if I end up back at work, and if work continues to pay me through this coronavirus kerfuffle. So yeah, that's the indie showcase. These things are always cool. There's three things that are, you know, at least must-buys, and probably three or four more that will end up on a wish list, you know, Unless there's a drought of games and there's nothing else coming out. Seems unlikely. But, you know, at least a bunch of interesting things in this one. For me, if they show in these indie showcases that they show 20 games and three look like must-buys, I count that as a win. That's a decent showing. There are times where I'm actually kind of relieved when they show like 15 games and only one or two of them look like ones that I might like to play. You know, there's so many games that come out. You know, if they were, you know, 15 for 15 showing off games, then it'd just be overwhelming. So there's a bunch of different things here. There's probably, you know, a pretty wide variety. Probably hit a lot of different types of audiences with the stuff that they showed, which I think is probably their intention, is they wanted to have cast a wide net with this sort of thing so that, you know, most people at least had one or two things that they think look pretty cool. But, you know, in addition to all this stuff, there's still games like Sports Story and Axiom Verge 2. And those are just the ones off the top of my head that are coming out on the Switch at some point this year. Like, Sports Story is supposed to be this spring. And Axiom Verge 2 is supposed to be in the second half of the year. So there's always these independent games coming out on the Switch. It doesn't stop. It's a really healthy environment for these types of games, which is a good thing. It's a good thing for everybody. So it's okay if they show one of these indie showcases and there's only two or three games that I definitely want, because, you know, they showed one 2 or 3 months ago and there were two or three games from there that I definitely wanted as well. So there's consistently going to be games coming out that look cool. But on that note, CoronaCast 1 is in the books. I'll probably end up doing another recording tomorrow. Not sure on what yet, but, well, I like to talk about games, and since I'm not going to be at work, you know, with people I also like to talk about games with, and since Wes and Ryan can't be here every day of their goddamn lives, I'm going to have to just talk at you guys about video games. So, again, not sure what I'm going to do next time, but I'm going to record as often as I can here. And Ryan and I have the next day for the retro show picked out. We're going to be recording on Tuesday. So just a couple of days at time of recording here, and possibly even do a hot takes on cakes. Dez and Ryan will take the baton on that one. Maybe even an After Dark. We'll keep them coming. It won't be, you know, 6 days a week of me monologuing. We'll try to mix it up and get, you know, people here talking with me. But on that note, till next time, everybody.